Good evening. Welcome to Tuesday night Bible study of the Book of James, live stream of Calvary Pandan BP Church. Let's look to God in prayer as we continue our study of the book. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee for yet another evening that we can quieten our hearts, set aside all the cares and all the burdens of this world, and to focus on what Thou hast for us tonight. Cleanse us and wash us, O Lord, of all our sins by the blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, for the Holy Spirit to instruct us out of Thy word of life. We pray, O Lord, that You will grant to all of us attentive ears and receptive hearts, that the word of God will truly fall on very good ground, that our lives will be transformed by Thy truth, so that our impact in the lives of others will truly bring glory and honor to Thy holy name when they see Christ in us. And glorify our Father who art in heaven. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen. Tonight, we shall conclude our study of James chapter 4, focusing on the last two verses, verse 16 and verse 17. Please allow me to read to you these two verses. It's a continuation from the previous three verses, where the theme was, "If the Lord will," taken from part of verse 15. So verse 16 says, "But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Amen. May God bless us in the reading of his most holy and sacred word. Boasting. We all know what boasting is. We usually boast of our accomplishments, things that are good, things that we have done well in. Nobody in their right mind would boast if they have failed and they have done badly, because these are the things we would like to hide because they are shameful. But when it comes to our victories, how we have done well in school, in our workplace, our promotions, our big houses, and all the wonderful things that this world can offer us, and we have most of them, and therefore many people will have a lot of things to boast about, their accomplishments. But the Bible warns us, "But now ye rejoice in your boastings," plural. We boast of our church service, how big our church is, how good our church is. We boast of the people that we are proud of. We boast of our families. We boast of our children. We boast of our parents if they are doing very well in the world. We boast of our Singapore government. We boast. So it's in the plural. Many things in Singapore we can boast about. Number one in this, number one in that. And we are proud. We just celebrated our 55th National Day, maybe not Thanksgiving service, but as Christians, we look back these past 55 years. The Lord has indeed blessed us living in Singapore, where there is so much safety from the medical perspective and from the cleanliness perspective, where we can have clean water, from health, from the military, from so many perspectives. It's such a safe and wonderful place to serve the Lord in. And so boasting is usually something that can easily creep up on us. I remember when we were in Singapore, in America, I was pretty proud that we were Singaporeans. At the time, China was still behind the bamboo curtains. They had not come out yet. And so when people look at Chinese, they would not automatically think that we are from China, unlike today. But when I talked to my American friends about Singapore, I was pretty proud of Singapore because of our advancement. Many of the televisions and the refrigerators that you find in American homes in the 1980s and the early 1990s, they were backward compared to what we have in Singapore, and our shops and the produce, the fruits and the vegetables that you find back here in Singapore, the varieties, we have much more than what you find in America. Boasting. It's in us. It's part of us, even as believers. But the Bible warns us of the pitfalls and the danger when Christians boast on whatever they have accomplished, whether in the church or outside of the church. All things we are to be very wary of. And the adversity, but in verse 16, tells us that when a person does not acknowledge the will of God in his life, the tendency to boast is very real. Because God has endowed most of us, if not all of us, with talents. And we have done pretty well in Singapore. And so you have a lot of things that you have done with your own hands that you can be proud of. The danger of boasting is there, especially when other people praise us. And we agree with their praises, and it goes to our head, and then we become proud and arrogant, and then we begin to boast. Either overtly or covertly, we want to be recognized, how clever we are, how good we are in whatever we do. But from these two verses, we learn two things about the pitfalls of boasting. First and foremost, when you look at verse 16, you see that boasting numbs the soul. Boasting numbs the soul. It paralyzes us. It makes us become very unfeeling. What does that mean? You see, the Bible says, but now ye rejoice in your boastings. When you and I boast of our accomplishments, and they are your accomplishments, and then you are very happy with it. You rejoice, you celebrate, because you're surrounded by friends and family members who are patting you on the back, and you are now feasting, and because of your accomplishments, you are wealthy, and you live in a very nice, safe, comfortable home, and everything is so safe and secure, and you wake up, you have so much to live for, and you are a very, very, really happy person. Your family, they are healthy, you are wealthy, you are healthy, everything seems so rosy and the sun is shining so brightly. And so you're very happy. You are rejoicing. Of course, in comparison to a person who is broken in spirit, mourning, these are the Beatitudes. Do you recall? Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed is the one who will mourn. But you are rejoicing. That's why it numbs your soul. What does that mean? We do not realize that we are in sin. That's number one. So our soul is desensitized. We don't feel that we are in sin. We do not feel that we have done something wrong. Because we are happy. We are rejoicing. In contrast to a broken person, a person who is sorrowing, a person who realizes that he has transgressed. And that's why it is so dangerous, because boasting numbs our soul, firstly, to sin. We don't even know that we are in sin. That's what the last part of verse 16 says. All such rejoicing, not all such boasting, all such rejoicing is sin, is evil. We did not know that it's evil. The Bible didn't say all the boasting is evil. But the boasting that will bring forth joy in your soul is evil. The joy, the rejoicing is evil. Because you're rejoicing over wrong things. You're rejoicing over things that are carnal. You're rejoicing over things that are of the flesh. And therefore, you are numb to your own sin. And you don't even know that you are in sin. Because you are happy. You are joyful. A joyful disposition is a disposition that the whole world longs to have. You know that there are people who make a lot of money. In fact, if you are a very, very good comedian, top of your trade, you could be a multi-millionaire. If you are a very, very good comedian, there will be many, many places that will hire you to make people laugh, where you are able to crack jokes and you can think of all kinds of lying and sayings that can make people laugh. People just want to laugh because of a hard day's work and their lives are filled with sorrow and they want to laugh. And so comedians can make a lot of money. Do you know of someone whose profession is to make people cry? Not comedian, maybe crymedian. A sorrowful person. Make a living making people cry. You don't need to because people are crying on their own. They think of the burdens and the problems, the sickness, all the evils around them. They cry on their own. They don't need you to make them cry. Who wants you to make them cry? They're already crying. They want you to help them stop crying. And that's why there is a lot of jobs for comedians, making people laugh. And so when they are laughing, they don't think about the realities of life. They don't think about the wrongs they have done because they think everything is so rosy. That's why I'm rejoicing. I'm good in this, I'm good in that, I'm healthy, wealthy, so everything is so wonderful. And you don't even realize that you are in sin. That's why boasting numbs the soul, firstly, to sin. And that is the worst condition to be in, not to know that you are a sinner, just like the people of the world. If there is no gospel, there is no Christ, that's our condition. But thank God that there is God, there is Christ, there is the Bible that reveal to us that we have sinned against God. We are a miserable people in a very sin-filled world. There is nothing to rejoice in this world outside of Christ. But the people who boast of themselves without Christ, and they are rejoicing in evil. That's why boasting numbs the soul to sin. And if you tell them that what they're doing is wrong, they're going to laugh at you. They're going to walk away and see you as a killjoy. They will just turn their back on you and just regard you as invisible, as a non-entity. Don't pour cold water. You are just sour grapes. You are just jealous, envy of me. Do you think God is jealous of you, envious of your rejoicing because you are boasting? The Lord is revealing this to us to warn us of the pitfalls of our accomplishments, thinking that we are the captain of our own destiny. By my own strength and power, I am a self-made man, a millionaire. I did it my way, on my own. You have fallen into the snare of the devil, and he has desensitized you to your own transgression, and you don't even know how deep you have fallen into your evil. Your rejoicing is evil. It numbs your soul. Secondly, to the Holy Spirit. Do you remember when we study the Gospel of John? The Lord Jesus Christ said that one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to reprove the world of sin. And so the Spirit of God, if you're a Christian, the Spirit of God or the still small voice will be whispering into your ear, trying to wake you up out of this stupor of false, evil, rejoicing. Are you listening to a person who is sorrowful, the person who is in trouble? You don't need to have the Spirit of God repeating to him his conviction, his sin, his transgression. All the Holy Spirit needs to do is to whisper by his still small voice once, and it will be ringing in his ears for a long, long time. And he will quickly repent. And the conviction has already sunken deep down into his very heart and very soul that he will want to make right his relationship with God. But not a person who is rejoicing, so happy with his life, so happy with this world all around him because of his great and wonderful accomplishments. It numbs his soul to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, telling him, stop, wake up. You have been deceived by the God of this world. You are rejoicing in error. what you have surrounding your life, surrounding this earthen vessel is yours, of yours. There's nothing to rejoice. And your rejoicing and your happiness in all the possessions and the carnality that you have is causing you to turn a deaf ear to the Spirit of God who is now convicting you, speaking to you. He is grieved by your foolish rejoicing, and you don't even know it. And you're not listening. You're not listening to his voice so that you will stop, so that you will be convicted. That's why boasting will definitely lead to rejoicing. And the Bible is very clear. This kind of joy that you have, that you seek after, is evil. And the Spirit of God, if it is speaking to you tonight, and you are rejoicing because of these carnal things that you have surrounded yourself with, where you have gone ahead of the Lord, where you have not sought whether it is God's will for you to be in this business, whether it is God's will for you to accept that promotion, whether it is God's will for you to buy that new house, the new condominium, whatever it is, you just did it your way. And you got it. But at what price? At what cost? Boasting numbs your soul to the voice of the Holy Spirit. That once upon a time when you first met the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, he entered into your heart. And as you were growing when you were young in the faith, how good that voice of the Spirit of God was it not? He guided you, he helped you, he comforted you, he assured you when you were in doubt, when the devil tricked you and make you doubt your own salvation. Was it not his voice that whispered into your ear, that gave you the calmness of heart, giving you that reassurance so that you will experience peace again and the love of God? Do you remember that wonderful, wonderful relationship that you have or had with the Holy Spirit? And now he is speaking to you. Would you listen? Would you stop your laughing and your joy that is within your soul and listen? There was this elder of a church who did a terrible sinful thing. One of the things, of course, was to teach and promote the Bible with mistakes and also to use church politics to kick out his own pastor. And when he was told of the transgression that he had committed, he was a multimillionaire, and his retort was, I'm healthy, my family's healthy, I'm wealthy, I have everything. I must be on the right track. God must be doing the right thing in my life. He was rejoicing over all the carnal things around him that he could not even see. His transgression and the convicting power of the Spirit of God in his life. He was numbed. His soul was numbed by his boasting, by his rejoicing over wrongful things, because that's what wrong rejoicing through boasting can do to a person. That's what joy for all the wrong reasons can do to a person. Why do you think the Lord Jesus Christ said it is impossible for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man. Because a rich man, he is so joyful, he is so happy, surrounded by all the wonderful things that his wealth could buy him. He has no time to think about God, has no time to think about that, has no time to think about anything but his wealth. At the moment, so happy. Boasting numbs the soul to the danger around him. He doesn't know that he is only a breath away from death. He doesn't know that he is walking on very thin rice paper and beneath him is the fire of hell. He thinks that his life is in his hands, He thinks that he is guaranteed tomorrow when he goes to sleep tonight. He doesn't even know that his life is not in his hands. Just because he is young, he thinks that he has many years ahead of him. Just because he has seen his doctor and they have given him a clean bill of health, he doesn't realize that the doctors that he paid a lot of money to give him that clean bill of health, they are not God. They are not in charge of his sojourn here on earth. And so he is numb to the danger that is around him. Because at any time, he could be meeting his Creator, and he will face the wrath and the judgment of his Creator. And if he is not truly born again, what awaits him is a fiery lake where the waves that continue to come to the shore of this fiery lake will be fire and brimstone. And they will keep on, wave after wave, covering his entire wicked soul. If only he was not numbed in his soul by his boasting to the danger that is all around him. He thinks that he is safe and secure. How many millions all over the world have been afflicted by this COVID-19? How many hundreds of thousands have died? How many thousands are dying? And the number keeps growing up, going up. Well, he thinks that I'm in Singapore. I am safe, I'm sound, I'm secure. He leans upon his government. Does he not know that our government is not omniscient, neither are they omnipresent or omnipotent? We draw more confidence in what our government says concerning our safety regarding this COVID-19. Than what the Word of God says. And this boaster, who is rejoicing in his own personal accomplishments, is numbed to the danger that is all around him. And he thinks he's in the playground, and in reality, he is in the devil's battleground. And the devil is the one that has now gripped his soul by heaping upon him the vanities of life. Boasting numbs the soul to sin, numbs the soul to the voice of the Holy Spirit if he is born again, numbs the soul to the dangers that are around him, because he's rejoicing, see? That's what happens. And it also numbs the soul to his own foolishness, his follies. He has already wasted enough time and enough life if he is a Christian. He has wasted enough. All those weeks and months and years in the pursuit of the vanities of this world. Because he did what was right in his own eyes. And he is now boasting. And the world is encouraging him by all the awards, by all the praises of man. He thinks he is a successful individual, not able to see his own foolishness. Now, if he is a believer, he is really a fool. Because if he is a child of God, he has been enticed by the enemy of his heavenly father, the fallen Lucifer. Why would he listen to the voice of the God of this world more than the voice of his heavenly Father? Isn't that foolishness? Where Jesus Christ died on the cross for his sin, redeemed him with his precious blood from the bondage of sin and the penalty of sin, which is death and hell. And then this child of God would spend the past few months and years of his life doing the will and the work of the devil, whom the Lord Jesus Christ suffered so much to come down from heaven onto this earth to destroy the devil. And now you have a truly born-again believer in his foolishness, doing the work and the will of the enemy of his heavenly Father and his Lord Jesus Christ. And the worst part is, he's laughing. He's rejoicing. That's why boasting will numb his soul to his own foolishness. He doesn't know how foolish he is. And he laughs, doing the work and the will of the devil, breaking his heavenly Father's heart and grieving the Holy Spirit who dwells in his soul, whose voice is speaking to him, but he doesn't want to hear because he's numbed. His soul is numb. That's how tragic boasting and how God says the rejoicing in that kind of boasting is indeed evil. But you may argue and reason and resist and say, well, but I did everything by my own hands. I really worked hard. I studied very hard. Don't I deserve some kind of recognition and praise? You are right. You did do it. When the Lord God turned the king Nebuchadnezzar, the most powerful Babylonian king in the Neo-Babylonian Empire, and made him behave like that of an animal for 7 long years, lived like an animal, nails grew long like a beast. When that happened, he was boasting, in inverted commas, literally, about his own accomplishments. Was he a brilliant general? Yes. Was he a brilliant military strategist? No doubt. That's why he was the best Babylonian king of the Neo-Babylonian Empire. When he reigned, Babylonian was at the height of her glory. And yet, God said, that boasting has to be destroyed in order for me to save your soul. At the end of his years, living like a beast, he finally awakened. And the moment he acknowledged that he was nothing, the Most High God is the one who gave him his kingdom. That was the moment he was born again, when the Bible described him turning from a beast into a man. I'm sure you have not done 10% of what Nebuchadnezzar had accomplished. And when Nebuchadnezzar did all those things on his own, the Lord said, that's boasting. And I have to destroy that to save you. Do you remember the previous 3 verses? What the Bible said concerning today or tomorrow, we go to this city and to go to that city to buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life, not what is your ability, not what is your accomplishment, what is your life. The Lord is basically saying, the fact is, I gave you life. Everything that you do is because you are alive. And therefore, you might think that it is your energy, your strength, your accomplishment, your talents that have resulted in your multi-millionaire status. But if you are a dead person, would you be able to do even the minutest detail of all that you have done? If I have not given you life, God says, you will not be able to do anything. Why do you think in verse 14 God talks about life? He's not talking about talent. He's not talking about a part of you. He's not talking about the period of your life when you were in secondary school or in university where you did a great thing. He's talking about everything about you hinged in the fact that you are alive. And the moment you are dead, everything about you that directly impacts this world dies with you. Even if you are the most brilliant surgeon, the moment you stop breathing, your brilliance is useless. You may be the most brilliant musician or whatever it is, the top in sports, in whatever. The moment you stop breathing, everything is over. And the Lord says, did I not give you life? So in reality, actually you have nothing to boast about outside of God. You know that? That's why for children of God, God says, if the Lord will, that is your protection, that is your safety, that will keep you and protect you from this folly of boasting, that will numb your soul to your own sin and to the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life and to the danger that you're in. Second, look at verse 17. Boasting. What else does it do to hurt us? Boasting produces a wrong response. Some of you might be reacting. What is your reaction? All right, then I don't do anything. If I can't even take pride in whatever I do, then I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do anything anymore. Is that your response? Since the Lord refused to let me boast in what I'm doing, I don't do that. I don't do anything. And even if I want to do something, I'm going to do it badly. Right? Isn't that the way to protect myself? I'm boasting. Got nothing to boast about. Did the preacher not say, the people who boast are those who have accomplished great things. Nobody will boast in the failures. So let me keep on failing. Keep on doing everything badly. Then I'll be fine. Then that will protect me from boasting. Is it not true? Well, verse 17 says that's not true. And that's why people who are boasting, when they are rebuked, admonished by the Lord, their reaction will be erroneous. It produces a wrong response. Instead of humility, instead of coming to the Lord in sincere, genuine repentance, you swing to the other extreme. All right, I don't do that. Since I don't do, I have nothing to boast about. I become a nobody. I become useless. I become a non-entity. And so verse 17 warns, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, you know what is good. Now, this word good here focuses on the benefit of what you do. This is not about a good person, whereby you are a good person inside of you because the Spirit of God dwells in you. This speaks of the benefit of your good deeds, how your life can impact people for the goodness that is defined in the Bible. And so, I hope your response and your reaction tonight is not, I'm not going to do anything now. And so the Lord's warning is, those who know, and you know from Scripture enough to do good, and you deliberately, purposely do not do it, because you thought that since I cannot boast, I don't do. That reasoning, that thought, that conduct and behavior, Jesus says, to him it is sin. So I don't want to serve. Since I cannot boast, if I boast and I'm happy with all my accomplishment, with my success in building up this ministry, and if it is a sin to rejoice because I'm proud of what I have accomplished, then forget it. I'd rather not serve. I don't want to witness. Because if I witness and people come to know Christ as Lord and as Savior, and then I share with people that, you see, I, by God's mercy, I led 10, 20, 30 people to Christ. I give tracts. Wow, so good to see someone come to know Christ. Since I cannot even say things like that, then forget it. I'm not going to witness also. I don't serve, I don't witness. So I just mind my own business, do my own thing, put my head into my little well like a frog. Don't care about anybody, don't care about anything, just mind my own business. Well, the Lord's rebuke to you is, it is sin. When you know what is the right thing to do, and you deliberately, purposefully do not do it out of spite, out of anger toward God, well, God says it is sin. And you have to realize this. Your life has been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has left you behind, filled you with His Holy Spirit who indwells you, leads you, guides you, illumines you, and help you to understand the Scripture and this world from Christ's perspective. And has given to you a church with brothers and sisters in Christ that can provoke you unto love and to good works. And then now you say, because the Lord is rebuking you to help you get out of your boasting and replace it with genuine, sincere humility and thanksgiving. That should have been your response instead of swinging to the other extreme and say, oh, I don't want to serve anymore. That's why boasting will bring forth a wrong response. It produces a wrong response from a person. Because the natural inclination is you're still filled with pride and arrogance based upon your own accomplishment. And you are angry with God when God rebukes you because you think that you still are convinced by the fact that I did it my way. I did it on my own. I studied so hard. I worked so hard. But the Lord says, I gave you life that enabled you to work even a little bit, even to work hard. Without me giving you life, I gave life to you when you begin to exist in your mother's womb. I am the one that is keeping you alive. Daily, day in and day out. You know, one of the things that impacted me the most when my older sister passed away was the fact that she was a very good sister, very helpful sister, very brilliant sister. But the moment the Lord took her home, her helpfulness ceased immediately. Her brilliance evaporated instantaneously. It cannot impact us at any time anymore. Everything gone. That's what happens when life ceases. And that's why the Lord says, as a child of mine, why do you think that you are your own man? Where do you get this notion from? Is it from the God of this world? Because that's exactly what the world boasts about. We are the captain of our own destiny. And some of them, in their foolishness, have even purchased a bottle of poison and put it at the next to their bed, just in case when they feel that they don't want to live anymore, they just drink the poison. And they will keep track and make sure that the expiration date of that bottle of poison has not been reached yet, so that it will still have its potency. And once it has passed the expiration date, they'll replace it with a new bottle. Because they say, I want to be in control of when I leave this world, when I want to end my life. You know how foolish that kind of thinking is? I hope you and I are not like that. I hope that if you are truly born again, a child of God, you be very mindful of the very presence of God in your life. That is why the safety and protection against boasting is not doing nothing, is not deliberately doing things badly so that you have nothing to boast about because I did everything badly. The protection is to keep on doing everything to the best of your ability as our Heavenly Father taught us. Whatever you lay your hand to do, you know it is from your Heavenly Father. You do your very best. The protection against boasting is to remember if the Lord will. If the Lord will permit me, if the Lord will see me through today, if the Lord will give me the strength, if the Lord will give me the discernment, if the Lord will give me the wisdom, if the Lord. And when you are very conscious of this phrase, if the Lord will, guarantee that when you have all your so-called successes, you will not fall into the sin of boasting, because you'll be so sensitive to the presence of your Heavenly Father, as well as the Son of God and the Holy Spirit in your life, that even if the whole world were to put you on a pedestal, in your own heart of hearts, in your own soul, you know that you cannot stop the world from doing that, but you can protect yourself by not believing the empty praises of man. And then you divert sincerely with all your heart all the praises of man to the praise of your Lord. That is how you protect yourself from boasting, not to do nothing and not to do everything badly, but to always do your best and point everyone to the Savior. Because without Him, we truly are nothing. But with Him, we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And what we do as spiritual children of God have a wonderful spiritual significance that will last for eternity, which the Lord described them as gold, silver, precious stone. And I will test it by fire, and it will only come out purer and better. That's the abundant and wonderful life that the Lord has given to us. And so the Lord wants to help us and protect us from boasting tonight. Beware, boasting numbs the soul to sin, to the voice of the Holy Spirit, to the danger that we are in, and to our own foolishness that we can't see our own sin, because we are laughing, we are rejoicing. And that is evil, that kind of joy over the wrong thing. And don't forget, boasting produces wrong response, and I hope you will not respond wrongly tonight. And if we have forgotten the Lord, and we have taken pride in what we have done, instead of saying, if the Lord will, it has been, if I will, that must cease. And I pray that it will cease, because we are children of God, and we have to willingly and wonderfully accept, joyfully, that indeed, if the Lord will, that I will sleep through tonight and wake up the next morning, I will begin a new day and pray that the Lord will use us and make us a blessing day by day, if the Lord will. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee for the conclusion of our study of James chapter 4. We pray, O Lord, that Thy Holy Spirit may convict our heart, for it is so easy for each and every one of us, even in spiritual matters, because You have used us and we are able to preach well and teach well. Men will adore us, men may praise us, and it will creep slowly but surely into our heads. And boasting, whether overtly or covertly, can become our pitfalls. Help us, O Lord, to understand and realize the danger of boasting because of our own accomplishment. For we have forgotten that if not for the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not able to do anything, for we are nothing without Him. And therefore, whatever we are able to do, all glory must be given unto Thee and Thee alone. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins, and may the Holy Spirit bring conviction and bring to remembrance what we have learned tonight concerning the danger of boasting, for it numbs our soul and it produces wrong reaction when we are rebuked. O Lord, may Thou be merciful to protect us and to keep us always in humility, for truly we are only sinners saved by Your grace. Grant to all of us a good night rest, and dismiss us, O Lord, tonight with the blessings of God the Father, God the Knight, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen. Good night, and God bless.